What will God do this morning? What is God going to do today? Heal. What else?
Whatever he wants.
Yes, because he is. Feed us, encourage us, minister to us, touch us. Wouldn't it be amazing if, like, somebody in the back row, they just, and God just visited them and built them up and, you know, touch them. Isn't that amazing? How about with each other? How about, you know, turn to each other and say, you're looking good today. What happened? What happened? God bless you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay. You may be seated. And turn to one verse, Amos 4, verse 12. I'll tell you ahead of time our theme for the message this morning. First of all, praise God you are here. That's a blessing. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God you are here in God's house. Wow. Yeah, it's a good place to be. Look at Amos 4, verse 12. How many remember when we were on the rooftop out there this past spring? Was that fun out there? Cars, you know, windshield wipers going, lights, horns. We were outside. Hey, let's do it again. Yeah, let's go over round two. Let's go back out there. Okay, now look at Amos 4 and verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. I remember a woman preparing her wedding. How long do you think it took? Couple years. Huh? Several thousand dollars later. People prepare to get married. They prepare for Christmas, holiday. They prepare for graduating from college or school. They prepare their vacation home. They prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They prepare for their health. They prepare their family. They prepare many things. Now turn to your neighbor and say, we prepare many things. What are you good at preparing? Hey, I have a question. Yeah, dinner. I asked Pastor Steve. He didn't have anything to say, so I said, you're good at preparing your mother's lasagna. He said, no, I'm not. Hey, wait a minute. Are people good at preparing things in this life and not preparing to meet God? Huh? They're not good at it. They put it off. They do not prepare to meet God. Two things about it. Meeting God in eternity, the day I die, we meet God. Who prepares for that? Christ. Christ prepared for us this amazing gift of being in the family, accepted in the beloved. It's already happened. We have been joined unto God. We have been reconciled to God. We were an enemy. Now we are a friend. It's done. It's done. He prepared so that we will meet when we leave our body, we will be in the presence of God, accepted by God forever. Accepted already in the beloved. Already it's done. God prepared that for us. He prepared a table for us in the wilderness. He prepares always. He serves us. He's a God that serves us. And he prepared. He said in the parable, go and tell them all things are ready. The banquet is all ready in Luke 14. It's all prepared and done. Jesus did it. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And what he means is, it's all done. I prepared this. I did this for you. You are invited. You believe in me. You are saved by God's grace. You are forgiven. You are accepted. But then, what does it mean here? He's speaking to Israel. And it means, in this life, we prepare to meet God. And the COVID thing, I haven't had any problem with it in my heart, in my life, in any way. I haven't had a problem with it. Why? Do you have fear or worry or anxiety? No, maybe you do, but I want to say, long before this ever happened, God is preparing. God is saying to us, prepare to meet me. So we meet him a year ago. We meet God in our everyday life. We prepare in our life of faith to meet God. We come here, we meet God. We kneel down, we meet God. So then when life happens, we are prepared in the deepest sense. Remember Jesus said about Mary, she sat at his feet listening to him, and Martha complained about how Mary wasn't helping her in the details of serving. And Jesus said, she has chosen the good thing that will not be taken away from her. In Luke 10:38. And what was it? Listening to him. Listening to Jesus. That's preparing to meet God. We meet God when we listen. Somebody said, has God talked to you? I go, yeah, yes. But it's not so much I am hearing him with these ears as much as I am thinking with his thoughts. Because this book, this is his thought. And as these thoughts are in our mind, then, you know, I have some knowledge, but then he may breathe on that piece of knowledge and it comes alive to me in my spirit, and he's speaking to me by the thought that is in that knowledge. The knowledge is thought, and that thought is from the Bible. And that meditation becomes life and fellowship, and he speaks to you by his thoughts. Prepare to meet God, but no, I am preparing my car, my house, I'm preparing my kids, I'm preparing my family, I'm preparing for my future. But wait a minute, hold it. God is saying, return to me, return to me. Look at verse 8, is it, of that same chapter 4. Have you not returned unto me? Do you see it? Last segment. Yet have you not returned unto me? Verse 9, same thing. Yet you have not returned unto me. You have problems, yet you have not returned unto me. America, look at our problems here, okay? You have problems on the street, yet you have not returned unto me. You have problems in the economy or the COVID-19, yet you have not returned unto me. Yet you have not. So then he says, four times he says, yet you have not returned unto me. But prepare to meet me. And, you know, if we meet him, that'll be our subject today. And when we meet him and we find him, then all these other things, they kind of find their place in life, you know. They kind of fall in their place. And some I avoid, some I'm engaged in, some don't mean much to me. They are there, but they don't have any power. They are there, but they don't have any power, because God is with you. God is with you. And in the book of Daniel, we see that happen with him. And he prepared, and then you see God in Daniel's life. So we'll look at that this morning. Okay, so welcome, Pastor Eugene, right now.
Okay, I just want to read something to you as we think about tithing and giving. And we give as the door, we go out the door, we'll have the bin set up. But this is amazing. I love it. So Quaker Oats, and we're familiar with Quaker Oats, but listen to this. Henry P. Crowell, affectionately called the autocrat of the breakfast table, contracted tuberculosis when a boy and couldn't go to school. After hearing a sermon by Dwight L. Moody, young Crowell prayed, "I can't be a preacher, but I can be a good businessman. God, if you will let me make money, I will use it for your service." Under the doctor's advice, Crowell worked outdoors for 7 years and regained his health. He then bought the little rundown Quaker mill at Ravenna, Ohio. Within 10 years, Quaker Oats was a household word to millions. Crowell also operated the huge Perfection Stove Company. For over 40 years, Henry P. Crowell faithfully gave 60 to 70% of his income to God's causes, having advanced from an initial 10%. We just heard how important it is to be prepared. Like, young boy, tuberculosis, problems. But what I love about this man's life is he sought God even when difficulty came. This is what's going on in our nation now. There are difficulties, but we are being prepared not only to meet God, but to hear from God and act into obedience what God wants us to do in each one of our lives. So this is awesome, because we're not limited in our giving. Why? Our hearts are prepared for God and for the work of God. So just keep that in your mind as you think about giving. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let's respond to God no matter what comes our way. Amen.
Daniel, the book of Daniel, that's our message this morning, is from chapter 2 in Daniel's profound understanding of history, of actually the future, which for us is history when we look back at the time. Daniel is important to us because he represents us in the world. He was Jewish. He was actually, it says in chapter 1, good looking. He was also smart, very clever. He learned the language in a short time. He and three other Jewish young men that were taken from Jerusalem and the first wave of the captivity, where they took a select number, and the king wanted them to be cultivated in the ways of the Persians, or the Babylonians rather, so that they would be the link in government between Nebuchadnezzar, his government, and the Jewish people who were taken captive. So he was being groomed. But in that grooming, he never compromised, and he did not become part of the paganism that was practiced in Babylon. He kept himself Jewish, kosher. He kept himself with God. He walked with God. He kept himself. It's kind of like us in the day we are living here in the United States of America, with many ideas that have moved away from our traditional way of thinking, with family life, with loyalty, commitment, trust, honesty, these attributes and characteristics that we have known in our country through many years, and then we have and are departing from these traditional values. But we born-again believers, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, if we have the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is our teacher, if the Spirit of God is leading us, then we will be a certain way in our hearts, in our minds, in our conversation, in our convictions, in our values. We will have love. We will have faith. We'll have joy. Wow. Hoo-hoo. To be free and to have joy and a sense of humor and encouragement and love for people I don't know. To have a mission or a vision, a heart for people. This is beautiful. So Daniel is this kind. Though he lives in a pagan world, Babylon, he walks with God, and so do you. That's in your heart. Jesus put it in your heart. Jesus gave you a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel 36, Hebrews chapter 8. God sent us into the world, John 17. As the Father sent me, so I send you, John chapter 20. Wait here in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father, Luke 24, 47. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be witnesses unto me, meaning you will be able to say, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Somebody could, actually it happened to me, my neighbor came over to talk to me one day, and he goes, how do you do it? How do you do it? And I said, what? He said, I see you take the garbage can from the side of your house out to the street. How do you do it? How do you do it? I don't know what he means. Then he said, "You have, why are you smiling? Why do you have that attitude?" That's what he said to me. He said, what do you do? And he said, I have to take Prozac. That's how I do it. How do you do it? Isn't that amazing? It's a true story. I was shocked. Because I thought I was taking the garbage out. That's how I was feeling inside. Now, okay, so we have the principal, Daniel, in Babylon. And now comes the bad news. The leader has a dream, and he's a tyrant, he's a tough guy, he's the number one guy, nobody else, nobody's talking to him, I mean, he's just the guy. Whatever he says goes, that's the way it is. He had a dream. And then he says to his captain, I'm going to kill all the wise men. I don't trust any of them. They're all liars and deceivers. I had a dream. I'd like somebody to interpret it for me. But I know these guys, wise men. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. They're not wise men. They don't know my dream. They could never interpret it. They don't know it. So he's like upset. So he orders for them to be killed. And the captain tells Daniel. And Daniel said, why? What is going on? Wait a minute. This is a great story. He goes, wait a minute. Look at the text, Daniel chapter 2. In verse 14, he has heard that the wise men are to be slain, which includes him and the other three. Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Do you see that? So Daniel gets the news. He said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Why is it so quick? Why can't he give us time? Why is this happening? What's going on? Why are we all going to be killed? He's not giving us any time. So then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Verse 16, Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. Those are the Jewish guys. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. Do you know what this means? Daniel told you, you're all going to be killed. You guys, wait. Wait a minute, give me a little time. I can go to God. Amen. I can go to God. What an amazing, I can go to God, you see? See that? Can you do that? Can you? Can you go to God? I mean it, hold it. It's the worst news I could hear. We'll all be killed in a few minutes. Wait a minute, hold it. I got my three buddies. We're Jewish, and we know God. We walk with God. We're ready to go. Come on. Let's go to God. If we die, we die, but we're going to go to God. Because God is God. And even this king, a great big powerful guy, He's not the bottom line. He's not the bottom line. He's got power, but God's got greater power. God is in the room. God is here. God is in your life. Please remember that. God is in your life. God is God. God is your God. We pray, my Father who art in heaven, right? Our Father who art in heaven. Let's pray. Like that God pays attention, that he hears us. Psalm 5, hear my prayer. Oh, Lord, in the morning, I'll make my cry unto you. Oh, God, in the morning. My heart is fixed, oh, God. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, oh, God. So let's change the picture. The doctor's phone call. Wait, I got to go to God. God is in the room. Wait a minute. God is in charge. Bad news at work. I have bad news with the bank. Bad COVID-19 or whatever it is. Hold it. Wait. I got God. God is God. He's the one. He can show me the dream. He can show me the dream. He can. He can turn it around. He can change the circumstances. Actually, I work good under pressure, a Christian could say. actually under pressure. Actually, James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, or the better word is trials. Many different trials. Count it what? Joy. Because there I can meet God. Prepare to meet God. But what's the problem in America? You have not returned unto me. You have not come back to me. Have you returned unto me? Have you had enough of it? Have you had enough of the emptiness? Enough of the foolishness? The cheating, the lying, the adultery, the pornography. Have you had enough of it? The pedophilia, the deception, the waywardness and the vanity of the human heart. Have you had your fill of sin? Yes, Lord, I have. But you've not returned unto me. Where do I go? And God says, go to the church. What church? Well, you got to have a church open anyway. Can't go there unless it's open. Be out on the sidewalk. Remember that story? One of our people, this woman said, I have anxiety. I'm afraid. And I went to the church and it was locked. I went to another one. It was locked. So I went to the liquor store and it wasn't locked. And I started drinking. And the woman said, she was a nurse. She said, I've never drank before, but now I've started. Why isn't the church open? And if it is open, why don't people prepare to meet God? Why don't I go there with an open heart and a humble attitude and say, God, help me? Because I don't know what's going on. Well, just think. It's 2020 in August. We don't know what's going on. Do you think it'll get any better in January 2021? Or spring? Or next summer? Do you think it'll get any clearer? I don't think so. I don't know what's going to happen, and nor do you. I don't know, but I know that Daniel said, hey, boys, we're in trouble. Let's go to God. He can show me the dream. And that's what happened. Look at it, verse 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I said in the earlier morning service that God needs to explode your boxes. It's a phrase I heard somewhere. We say break the box or the structure, the boxes. You know the boxes that we have in life? Like, I can't do it. And then God shows up and the boxes explode. I can do it. I am Abe. I can. I believe you. I see now. He explodes the boxes. He does. He did here. Because you could say, God, we're in trouble. We're going to die in about 5 minutes. I don't know how you could ever show me a guy's dream, how you could ever show that to me, but you can. And he did. I don't know how you could take cigarette smoking away from me. I read yesterday that in the Depression, cigarette smokers waited in long lines from 10 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon to get a package of cigarettes. And they couldn't stop smoking and waiting all day for a package of cigarettes, right? But we know this. We're not any better. We're no different. But I'm just saying, could God explode the box of my unbelief or my fear or my addiction? Could God change things? He is God. It's so much fun to think about God. I got a little piece. I wonder if it disappeared. Oh, here it is. Thank you. I don't know who I just said thank you to. There's an angel over there. God is of himself, from no other. Natures which are made by God may increase because they began to be. They may decrease because they were made of nothing, and so tend to nothing. The condition of their original leads them to defect, and the power of their creator brings them to increase. But God has no original. He has no defect, because he was not made of nothing. He has no increase because he had no beginning. He was before all things, and therefore depends upon no other thing which by his own change can bring change upon him. It's just another way of saying something beautiful about God's nature. We have a hard time understanding God does not change. God has no beginning, no end. He was never caused by anything. He has a different nature from everything we see created. He was never created. He can never change. He can never decrease, and he can never increase. He is infinitely who he is always. It's so beautiful to think about it. That God consciousness that you have, that love you have in your heart from him, is by his grace. By his grace, you love him. By his grace, you know him. But there are some believers that don't know this, and they don't know him. 1 Corinthians 15 says that awake to righteousness, awake to truth, for you have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Why didn't the Corinthians have the knowledge of God? They're occupied with so many little things. I got to prepare for the wedding. I prepare for the funeral. I prepare for the lunch. I prepare for my friends. And God is saying, prepare to meet me. Meet me. Seek me. Find me. If you seek me, all these other things will be taken care of. What do you mean? I need clothes and I need food. God says, well, doesn't God clothe the field and feed the birds? Seek not the things that men seek, but seek the things that are above by faith. Daniel did it, and he found the answer. And so we are like that also today. We are looking to God. Maybe this is a good time in America. This is a great time to sow the seed. Yesterday we went to Hampstead in Carroll County, a small town, another one Manchester. We just sit on the chair on the street and we knock on doors and talk to a few here and there, and we pray for divine appointments. And we have them. We have them. A word of faith, a word of love. A few weeks ago, we were in Westminster. Man took the track. He said, oh, I've been at this Bible school. I know Pastor Love. And we randomly met him on the street. Many little stories and things that happened, but I'm saying, you know, our situation here in America, it's a very good time to prepare ourselves to meet God now in these circumstances, now when our family is, when we are in trouble, now when maybe my life is falling apart, now is the time. They say the suicide rate, something up, what was it, Pastor, remember? 40% I mean, there's huge things that are going on in our society. Preach and share and love and give and pray and ask God, because He will answer us. And we will be salt and light. So this is what happened. It says in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." And then verse 21, He changes the times and the seasons. We're going to have end time seminar on Friday and the next Friday, so in the next two Fridays on the end times. He removes kings, sets up kings. He gives wisdom. Is there any question about that? He removes kings and He sets up kings. Kings come and go. Kings come and go. But where are you and I in this history? Where are you and I when things change? It says in Revelation chapter 20, Satan deceives the whole world. He is a deceiver. And he can bring a false religion to a whole country, and the people follow the false religion all their lives for centuries. That he can bring an ideology like communism or Nazism or any other one, an ideology or fascism. And it's interesting. Spain had Franco, Mussolini in Italy, and Hitler in Germany at the same time. You know, Satan and the minds of people in our country. A whole way of thinking that can be wrong. It can be wrong. It can be wrong. It can be a deception. We are warned, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, about the signs and lying wonders of the Antichrist. The times of deception, Jesus said it many times, Matthew 24, Luke 13, Mark 13, Luke 21. Many times He said it. But beware of the false Christ, false prophets, false teachers, and the deception that happens in this world. Even, He said, if the time was not cut short, the whole world would be deceived. So, who is Daniel in this story? But he's a man kind of stepping back, and he sees the whole big picture. And I'll share, I'm going to close with this. The picture was basically, this is a shortened version of it, an image of a man, and he is a image with, he has 10 toes, and he is like a kingdom is the head, then the chest, then the abdomen and the two legs, and then the last part is the legs and the 10 toes. And this is, the head is Babylon Empire, then you have the Persian Empire, and then you have the Greek, and then you have the Roman. And this is actually hundreds of years of continuity through this image. This is what the dream is, and what Nebuchadnezzar had, this dream. And he said, what is it? What is it? So it's explained by Daniel. But there's some part in the dream that goes like this. And I saw a stone, a small stone, not cut from by man's hand. I saw a stone, and it struck the image, and the image fell down, and the wind blew it all away. It was all blown away. It seems like It seems like it's a shell. It looks like a man. It is a man. It's like people. It's like us. It is a man, like a civilization, but it's a shell, because behind the shell is like animals. And the animals are described in Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8. Because our civilization is actually like an animal. It looks like a man, civilized, but you scratch the surface and it's a dangerous animal. World War I, World War II, these are world wars in civilized living. This is the nature of this. This is not eternal. This civilization passes away. But the stone becomes, this stone becomes a great mountain. And this mountain is really replacing the image. And this mountain is Christ. For the little stone is Jesus. That little stone is Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. The little stone, not cut from man by man's hand, but cut by God. God brought that stone into this world to say to the whole world that you are empty because you don't have God. You are shallow. You don't have the character. You don't have the nature. You don't have the mind. You don't have the wisdom. You are deceived. You are wrong. You may be morally good, but relatively speaking, but essentially you cry out, Barabbas, Barabbas. We want Barabbas. What should I do with the one called Christ? Crucify him. Crucify him. That's the nature of man. It takes a little bit of time, and the nature is revealed. That's what Daniel saw, and he explained it to this king. He explained it to the king, and you know what was amazing? The king went down on his knees, and he said, "You are of God." He recognized he told the truth. You know, that's the last thing we may say about this. I know we're cutting short, but we've had enough, I think, to think about and to understand it. But listen, you are not to be politically correct. You are to be spiritually wise. You are to be correct in God. You don't talk like people in the world. You of course, we are sensitive and we are wise, but listen to me. You are to be deeper. You don't just say and parrot the things that are said in the world. Where do they know? You prepare to meet God. And when God tells you the truth, you say the truth. You stand in the truth. That's what Christ did. You are like Christ. You are in this world with the spirit of Christ, the mind of Christ, the nature of Christ. You are like part of the little stone that smites the image and says, you know, you really don't have anything. I mean, they may kill us, but they don't have anything. It's only a matter of time. I read about the executions in Cuba under Fidel Castro, and there were Christians in a prison, and they were executed in the morning by a firing squad. And so they were taken out, and the guys in the prison were waiting their turn, but they would hear a Christian down in the yard that before the firing, before they were murdered, executed, "Christ reigns forever." And then, you know, they're dead. But really, are they dead? Huh? Fear not him who can kill your body. Well, what spirit is that? That's God. God is in you in your trial. God is with you in your temptation. God is with us in this world that we are living. I'm just trying to say, I know it's a dramatic illustration, but it's a very good and a true one. I'm not saying we're facing anything like that in that way, but I think we are facing what Daniel had to face, and he had something to do about it. I can go to God. I can get God's mind. I can learn love. I can learn to be a servant. I can go out. Listen, here's a last little thing. I think in this COVID time, there are people that turn inward and they get used to like living quietly and inwardly, and they begin to suffer from it because they don't know how to get out. They don't know how to get out, how to minister. They don't know about being led in faith. They don't have an adventure of faith, so they get bored. There's more boredom, more depression. There are more problems like that in this life, in this present situation than we had before. And what's the answer? Be alive. Wake up. Like, walk. Meet God. Meet God in life, and God will lead you and get you moving and go for a walk or get something going in your mind. How can I serve others? How can I help people? How can I reach teenagers? How can I reach out? How can I can write a letter. I can make a phone call. I can have a little group of people. I can care about other people because this is the nature of the ministry, and it's happening. Okay, so is that the end? I think it is. I think that's the end. So wait, let me see. I got the last thing was when the king said, when Daniel told the truth about it, and the king went down on his face, and he said, you know, you, how did you, it's kind of like, these are my words, we could read it, but it's right there. You can read it. Like, who the Spirit of God is in you. Like, how do you know this? This is, and Daniel said it. And so we're not just trying to get along in this world. We are wanting to have some salt. I have some bite. I have some message. I know that you are bored, but I know the answer. I know that you are afraid, but I have the answer. I know that you're looking for something. I know who it is that you're looking for. I know that I can help you. If you give me a little bit of time and listen to what I have to say, I believe that God will give me something to say to you to help you in your life. Isn't that amazing? One day, I was in Hungary, in Budapest, soul winning, and this engineer met me on the street. And he said, I don't believe. I said, I understand that. But if you give me 45 minutes, I can convince you to be a believer. He said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. I'll meet you at that McDonald's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. Is that good? Yeah, I'll be there, he said. I was surprised. The next day, he was there. And I was even more surprised. I was there. We sat in that McDonald's, true story. Within 20 minutes, tears are running down his cheeks. His name is Frank. He became my interpreter in Hungary part of the time. We made an agreement because it was such a miracle and it changed his life so much that every year we would meet for 5 minutes whenever I'm in Hungary and rehearse what happened. We would rehearse it. And I think it was 27 years we've done that. We've missed the last few years because of this COVID thing. We missed this. But yeah, we missed some years. But I'm just trying to say something. People need you. They don't need your good looks because you don't have any. They don't need your smartness because you're short on that too. They don't need your happy sense of humor. That's not a bad thing. We'll take whatever we can get in that direction. But listen, you go to God, prepare to meet God. and meet him now. And meet him now in these times as this world is in trouble. Have you noticed it? Have you seen the emptiness? Have you seen the lies? Have you seen the trouble? Yes. What are we going to do about it? We're going to meet God and bring something to them. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are serious about it too. Lord, in our, we could just are serious about it, Lord. And there are people in this world, they don't know. They don't know, honestly. I am saddened by it. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. It might be knocking on the wrong door, going to the wrong place, looking for the wrong thing. And we pray you would visit every one of us here and everyone listening to my voice to say, Lord, help me to be awake and alert and engaged. Help me in these days. School's going to start in 2 weeks. Bible college starts in 3 weeks. These are great days for us. We do real good when we have a little bit of pressure on us so that we can go to you and find you and love you and share you, Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name. Anyone believing in Jesus today for the first time, just raise your hand. Anybody, raise your hand. You're saying yes to Jesus Christ personally. Yes to Jesus Christ, you know. Yes. In Jesus' name. Anybody at all? Amen. I heard a comedian or a speaker say, if you want to have a happy hour, eat a steak. You want to have a happy day? Go to play golf. You want to have a happy week? Go on a cruise. You want to have a happy life? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please? Father, dismiss us today. Thank you. We've been in your house. Bless us as we go. Anybody, you want us to pray for your child? Raise your hand. Anybody? Pray for your child. Father, you see the hands. Pray for your wife. Anybody? Raise your hand. You pray for your husband. Your mother. Your brother. Your finances. Your house. Your health. Father, you see all our hands, our prayers, Lord, to you. We have been in your house. We've honored you in your word. We believe you in our hearts. Send us away with answered prayers and hearts filled and satisfied with who you are. In Christ's name, bless our service tonight in a special way. The end times, that's our theme the next few weeks, the end times. In Christ's name, amen.